Well, I want to share with you some thoughts about the two Bible readings we had today, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. So let us pray that God would open our hearts and minds. Loving God, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Thank you for words of life, words that will shape our lives. And we pray that as we think about the words we've heard this morning, you would open our hearts and minds. Be active by your Holy Spirit to bring light into darkness, life into death, and joy into sadness. And we pray that we would be transformed as we think about your word and what it means to us. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, you're in the middle of a series, for those of you who are regular attenders here, a series on the Ten Commandments, and it's fallen to me today to speak about the fifth commandment, honouring your father and your mother. That's why my talk with the children was about parents and children. This comes, of course, from the Ten Commandments, and the New Testament quotes the Ten Commandments, also known as the Decalogue, deca meaning ten words, deca, ten, log, words. And the New Testament has reference to parts of the Ten Commandments in many places. And in fact, Jesus summarises them in what we call the two great commandments, which we generally use in church these days. The New Testament clearly regards the Ten Commandments as valid for Christian believers. The Decalogue was a constant element in medieval catechesis, in the teaching back in the early church, and is expounded in the Reformation catechisms as the summary of Christian moral obligation. So it's been passed down through the ages, through the church, as being relevant and important to us. It is frequently used as a form of self-examination before Holy Communion. Have you ever done that? Sat with the Ten Commandments and thought, well, how am I going with these? How am I tracking? It's an important spiritual discipline that you might want to adopt sometime. In Christian use, however, it has to be understood, of course, in the light of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. So you can't just be legalistic about this. You have to see how Jesus interpreted the things that God is calling us to be and to do. And we see that in the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly in the Beatitudes. In today's Gospel reading, we see Jesus interacting with Pharisees and scribes when they began to interrogate him about the behaviour of his disciples. In response, he points out to the Pharisees and scribes, and by extension, us as well, a condition of the human heart which seeks shortcuts or ways of evading or avoiding what God asks of us, often while pretending we are really being godly. This is what was happening in the example he gives, where the demands of the fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother, have been manipulated so as to avoid obedience to it, by claiming the assets and effort due to have been used to honour parents were allegedly dedicated to God as korban, which was really a way of not fulfilling obligations and responsibilities, and ultimately keeping things for oneself. This reminds me of some people's approach to stewardship, our Christian responsibility of giving to the mission of the church. I once heard three parishioners talking about how they decided how much they were going to give to God. And it was a church much like this in the narthex afterwards, and one of them said, well, I draw a circle on the ground and I throw all my money in the air, and what lands in the circle belongs to God. The other one said, well, that's a bit minimalist, isn't it? It's quite a small circle after all. My approach is, same circle, I throw it all up in the air, and what lands outside the circle belongs to God. And the third one said, well, that's fantastic. What I do is I stand by the circle and I throw all my money up in the air, and what God wants, he catches. This is a bit like that ancient tradition of korban, saying, well, yes, God's blessed me with all these assets, but I'm going to dedicate them to God so as I don't have to use them to look after my parents. It was pretty deceitful and certainly not honouring of parents. In another translation by Nicholas King, we see Jesus opening his criticisms of such practices by asking a question, Do you do well to nullify the command of God so as to set up your own traditions? Because that's what they were doing. They were nullifying the commandments of God simply to suit themselves. And that question continues to be relevant to us today. Do you do well to nullify the command of God so as to set up your own traditions? Also in today's gospel reading, the list given by Jesus of 13 evils that emanate from the human heart, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly, are all covered by the Ten Commandments. The list is neither exhaustive nor definitive, but does serve to illustrate the wisdom and the provisions of God in the Ten Commandments, and also what can happen when we dispense with the Ten Commandments. It doesn't take long for the corruption and the evil and the waywardness of the human heart to be seen. In your series on the Ten Commandments, you're up to considering the fifth commandment today. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The first four commandments define how God wants us to show love for God. The fifth commandment begins a series of six commandments that show us how to love other people, starting from our earliest years in our family home. In a way, the fifth commandment connects the two sections, 1 to 5 and 5 to 10, since God is revealed as our loving Father. So, relating to God as Father enables us to relate to other people in a similar way. The fifth commandment is the only one of the ten with a blessing or a benefit attached to it. And this is it, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The first part of the promise, live long. This was an amazing blessing because the people to whom these words were first given had previously had a short life expectancy as slaves in Egypt. Imagine being promised a long life when for so many generations they'd seen their old people dying at a not very old age. The second part of the promise, in the land the Lord your God is giving you, is also amazing because the people had been dispossessed, landless refugees seeking asylum in Egypt during a time of severe drought in their homeland. They had lost everything. I hope that also sensitizes us towards the needs and the terrible plight of refugees today. But for these people, that promise of a land in which to live was quite amazing. The spirit of this commandment endures, and we see that even Jesus kept this commandment. When things couldn't have been much worse, at the time when he was actually dying on the cross, he kept this commandment. He made sure to see to his mother's well-being. You will have heard these words before. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. At the limit of his ability and capacity, Jesus still made provision for his mum. With similar faithfulness to the fifth commandment, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, speaks of the relationships between children and parents. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." It goes on to say, "As fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." To the Colossians, Paul added these words, "lest they become discouraged." And we remember that Jesus said it would be better for someone to have a millstone cast around their neck and thrown into the sea than to be putting a stumbling block in the way of one of these little ones. So we have to be careful as parents and careful as children to honour the familial relationships that God has set up. Parents must not shirk their teaching role, but must do it in a way that is encouraging and doesn't provoke their children. The training and admonition of the Lord is explained more fully in the book of Deuteronomy, where it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, there's never a time when we shouldn't be conscious of the roles and responsibilities of parents and of children. The fifth commandment is important, not just to parents and children concerned. Honouring parents is a place for learning to honour and respect all people, not just parents, and not just people older than yourself. The Apostle Paul reiterated the fifth commandment, as I've mentioned already, emphasising that it's the first commandment with a promise. We do well to remember that all of God's commandments are given for our benefit, but this one is especially highlighted by God for the blessings that it brings for the individual, for the family, and for the society in general. Paul expands on this subject of family relationships with the commands to both children and parents. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. A smooth functioning society and happy relationships are based on respect and obedience to authority. It is much easier to learn this early in life." God wants us to learn to honour all people. We see in the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 17, to honour all people, not just parents and not just children. We must submit to authority also, which is something we learn through honouring our parents. For, as we are reminded in Romans chapter 13, there is no authority except from God. This does not mean God condones repressive, heavy-handed leadership. God holds parents and teachers and other leaders to a stricter judgment, as is seen in the letter of James, chapter 3. Honour for parents shouldn't end when we leave home. Family is a lifetime commitment, reflecting the permanence of the family relationship we are called to in becoming children of God. As the Apostle John wrote, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." In this way, our homes reflect the relationship of God with us, and we are empowered by that relationship to make our homes a place of godly love and interaction. God intends us to continue to show respect and honour for our parents long after we leave home, and perhaps even more as they age and may require care and support. And I hear all the older parents here saying, "Yes, preach it, brother. We want to be cared for." And all the children saying, "Yes, but remember, we choose your nursing home for you." As we see earlier, Jesus Christ showed the hypocrisy of some who tried to get out of honouring and supporting their elderly parents. God wants our honour to extend throughout our parents' lives and even to honour their memory after their death. The parental role is a vital one. It is challenging. It is worthy of respect. I no longer have living parents. Both my mother and my father died some years ago. However, I continue seeking to honour them by living my life in the way they led me by example, by honouring our mutual Father, who is God. Honouring parents is a command of God. It is good for the individual, It is good for the parents, and it is good for all of human society. I've probably spoken long enough, but we could spend as long again talking about how to behave when relationships break down, whether by a parent appearing not to be worthy of being honoured or a child not giving the honour that God requires. In a terribly shorthand way, let me conclude by saying that both the breakdown on the side of the parents and the breakdown on the side of the children will require respectfully seeking the truth to the other, truth motivated by love and the good of the other person, and all this motivated by a desire for reconciliation. Such behaviour can be elements in both a remedy for broken relationships and a means of sustaining good relationships. After all, isn't that the way God deals with us? Respectfully speaking the truth, truth motivated by love and the good of the other person, and all this motivated by desire for reconciliation. God is our Father, and from those relationships flow the capacity, the ability, the will, and the way for our relationships to honour God and to honour one another. Honour your father and your mother. The Lord be with you.